Welcome to the podcast of Broadway Baptist Church in Lexington, Kentucky, and the preaching of Pastor Daniel Othman, a biblical church centered on Christ.
Those of us upstairs in Big Church, we want to open up our Bibles through the book of Mark. Mark chapter 15. Mark chapter 15, verse 42. This is the Easter story, what we're about to read right here. So what happened is Jesus was sentenced to die on early on Friday morning. He's before this group called the Sanhedrin. They sentenced him to die. They hand him over to Pilate, who is the Roman governor of over that time of Israel. Then at 9 a.m., he's sentenced to crucifixion. Jesus is nailed to a cross at 9 a.m. on Friday morning. And then at noon, darkness came over all the land, and it was dark, not just in Israel, all over the earth. And then after that, 3 hours later at 3 o'clock, 3 p.m., Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins. And that's where we're going to pick up on this story right here. So Jesus, it's 3 in the afternoon, he just passed away. And we're going to be introduced to a man named Joseph of Arimathea. You're in the book of Mark, chapter 15, verse 42. And there's this group, as I mentioned earlier, called the Sanhedrin. They are a Jewish ruling council. They were made up of 71 members. It'd be like the Congress in Israel time. But there were two secret followers of Jesus in the Sanhedrin. One of them is who we're about to be introduced to right here. His name is Joseph of Arimathea. You know, we didn't know these folks were followers of Jesus until after Jesus died. Then they show up out of the shadows, and they begin to become followers of Jesus. So Joseph of Arimathea is going to help bury Jesus. The other secret disciple of Jesus, who we're actually introduced in Jesus' most well-known of all conversations, was a man named Nicodemus. And that's in John chapter 3. Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea, of the 71 members of the Sanhedrin, they were believers in Jesus. And both of them, actually Bible, other account of this says not only was Joseph of Arimathea there, but Nicodemus was there helping prepare Jesus' body for burial. And what we're about to see here is this actually fulfills Scripture. We don't need to turn there, but in Isaiah 53, verse 9, it says that Jesus is going to die with the wicked. Jesus was crucified on a cross with two criminals. He was between both of them, one on his right, one on his left. The one on the right actually got saved on the cross. He was a thief, and he got saved. And the one on the left went to hell. He mocked Jesus. So even on our deathbed, you and I can still get saved and trust in Jesus all the way up to the point of death. And remember, too, this also reminds us, some people actually believe that baptism saves you. But the thief on the cross, he was nailed to a cross. He was not baptized, yet he became a believer in Jesus. So baptism doesn't save us, but what does save us is trusting in Jesus as our Savior. So that fulfills that Jesus being crucified with the wicked actually fulfills Old Testament prophecy in Isaiah 53:9. That verse also tells us that Jesus is going to be buried in a wealthy man's tomb. So, and that's where we're about to pick up. Joseph of Arimathea, he had some graves in the local graveyard, but it wasn't just any graveyard, it was a nice graveyard. And he's going to provide a place for Jesus, his body, in one of those. So that's where we're at in our Bible. Book of Mark, chapter 15, verse 42. When it was already evening, because it was the day of preparation, that is the day before the Sabbath, this is how we know Jesus was crucified on Friday. In the Bible, the Sabbath is on Saturday. And it's still on Saturday. Today is not the Sabbath. Today is called the Lord's Day because God's Word never changes. So if God, and the reason it's called the Sabbath is that goes back all the way to Genesis chapter 1. God created everything in 6 days. Man was created on Friday. That's why Jesus died on Friday. He died for man. So on the Sabbath, he rested, the Lord. The reason why Jesus rose on on Sunday is because Sunday was the first day of creation. It says, let there be light. Jesus is light. He's the light of the world. God started creation on Sunday. So everything goes back to Genesis chapter 1, what Jesus is doing here. He's dying for man on Friday. That's the day of preparation. Because back in Bible times, on the Sabbath, you couldn't do anything. You couldn't go to the grocery store. You couldn't milk your cows. You had to rest. It was a total day of rest. You did nothing on Saturday. So if you wanted to eat on Saturday, you had to cook your food and go to the grocery store on Friday and do extra cooking on Friday to carry it all the way through Saturday to get to Sunday. So you had to get all your stuff done on Friday. So what's happening here, Jesus is dying on Friday, on the day that God created Adam and Eve. So he's dying on this day here for all of humanity, and he needs to get buried before the sunset. Jews count their days differently than we do. Our day starts at 12 a.m. in the middle of the night. That's not how it was in Bible times at all. The day starts, it goes back to the book of Genesis, chapter 1, when God said, let there be light, the day would start there with light. You have morning, and then you have evening, the first day. So they wanted to make sure Jesus was buried while there was still daylight on Friday. So Jesus is passing, he passed away at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. So Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus, they probably have about 3 or 4 hours to get Jesus into a tomb. So that's where we pick up here. And that's what's going on. Jesus arose on the first day of the week, which would be Sunday. So today, in many ways, every time we come to church on Sunday, we're actually coming on the Lord's Day. That's what this day is called. And every single Sunday is actually a remembrance of the resurrection. That's why we worship on Sunday instead of Saturday. Saturday is still the Sabbath, but we don't worship on the Sabbath. We worship on the Lord's Day. So that's what we see right here is going on. He dies on Friday, but now we've got to get him in the tomb. Joseph of Arimathea, verse 43, a prominent member of the Sanhedrin, who himself was looking forward to the kingdom of God. That meant he was a believer in Jesus. He recognized Jesus was the Messiah. This man was different. Who himself was looking forward to the kingdom of God, came and boldly went to Pilate and asked for Jesus' body. What's interesting about that? It says he boldly went to Pilate. You know, he wasn't very bold while Jesus was alive. All of a sudden, when someone dies and they're out of the picture, then people start speaking up on their behalf. But while Jesus was alive, he was a secret disciple. But at this point, he went and revealed himself. He wanted to help Jesus' body. Pilate was surprised that he was already dead, summoning the centurion. A centurion is a Roman guard, because Pilate wanted to make sure this was a Roman crucifixion, that Roman military people were making sure these folks on the cross died. That meant he was a centurion. He had 100 soldiers under him. So he was there making sure these guys were dead on the cross. Summoning the centurion, he asked him whether he had already died. When he found out from the centurion, he gave the corpse to Joseph. After he bought some linen cloth, Joseph took him down and wrapped him in linen. Then he laid him in a tomb cut out of the rock and rolled a stone against the entrance of the tomb. Bible times, they did their burial practices different. Nowadays, when you get buried, it's all in one package. Like, you just get it all done, and it's all done in one day. That's not how it was in Bible times at all. You would pass away, and they would put you in basically a one-year temporary tomb. So what would happen is, they knew eventually they were going to pull his body out of this tomb. You would first go into that tomb and you would be wrapped in linen. And they're letting the corpse, and this is how it was in Bible times, the corpse takes about 1 year to decompose, roughly. And then after that, inside that linen, they would come back and they would get, about a year later, they would get the bones. In fact, I have a picture of this, of where they would put this is called ossuary boxes. You would gather up those bones from that linen, and then you would place the bones in a little box. If you remember we've been going through the book of Exodus and Numbers, and remember how when Joseph, he died in Egypt, And when he passed away, they wanted to bring, he wanted his family to bring his bones back to the promised land in Israel. What he was talking about is that little box. He wanted that box to go to the promised land. So you carry the bones. So what these women are doing, they knew they were going to be able to go to that tomb. And instead of, they might not lay flowers like we do, they would put perfume and spices on the body. That was how, so they knew you could just roll away a stone and anoint someone's body with perfume and spices. So that's what they are planning on doing. And these men are wrapping Jesus in a linen cloth because they know in a year or so they're going to come back and Jesus' bones will be there. And it's easy to find all wrapped up in a cloth. That's what's going on here. That's Jewish burial. So it's basically a two-in-one burial. Get buried temporarily for a year or so. Then about a year later, they gather your bones and you'd find your final resting place would be in this box. And then those boxes would be all be in a little cemetery with a family. That's what we're seeing going on right here. It's just different than today. It's two steps of a burial. So these women here are watching where Jesus is being buried because they're planning on coming back there the next day. Now they can't actually be the next day because the next day is the Sabbath. So they can't walk. You can't go do that on Sabbath. They were planning on doing it on Sunday, the first day of the week. So that's why they arrived on Sunday morning, because they were looking forward to seeing Jesus. You know, this is also, this is why, understand the reason why all of this occurred. None of this is by accident. All this actually goes back to the book of Genesis. Jesus died on Friday because man was created on the sixth day. That's when Adam was created in Genesis chapter 1. He's dying for all of humanity. He's resting in the tomb on the Sabbath on Saturday. The first day of the week, this is so important, is Sunday. What happened? Why is it the first day? Because God said, "Let there be light." Then, right at sunrise, Jesus, up from the grave, he arose. So the women are showing up. They think they're going there to anoint this body, pull him out of a tomb, and he's alive. So it's so important that we understand why each of these events died on the day for man, all of humanity on Friday. He's resting in the tomb on Saturday, which is the Sabbath. First day of the week, let there be light. Jesus comes up from the grave. That is very understandable. His death, burial, and resurrection all tie in with the sixth day of creation, the seventh day, the Sabbath day of creation, everybody's resting, and the first day of creation, he is our light of the world. Isn't it phenomenal? You just see how the Lord has just worked this out. So that's why Jesus had to die on a Friday. So and he's also, this is Passover weekend as well, because Jesus is the Passover lamb, the sacrifice for everyone. So that's what's all going on in this story. None of this is by accident. And it goes on to say here, these women are Sunday morning, and they're going to anoint Jesus' body. And it says here, Mary Magdalene and the Mary, the mother of Joses, were watching where he laid. So now, that is on Friday. We end that day. They've got their eye. They know where the tomb is. They watch the Sanhedrin members bury him. So here we get to Sunday morning. Nobody did anything on Saturday. We all rested. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, by the way, Mary Magdalene, this lady was healed of seven demons, the Bible tells us. She had a demonic spirit, and Jesus set her free. She never got over her healing. When the Lord sets us free, when the Lord delivers us from evil, we never get over that. She was still there. This is what a faithful church member. She's still loyal to Jesus. When everybody else is, notice all none of the disciples are there. They've all abandoned Jesus. None of these folks actually believed Jesus was coming back from the dead. Jesus had told them three different accounts. I put in the bulletin here. Three different accounts of where he was going to die and be resurrected. None of them believed it. It says here, when the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome bought spices so that they could go and anoint him. They're planning on anointing the body. very early in the morning. And by the way, they wouldn't actually anoint the body. They wouldn't. Jesus is wrapped up in a mummy because they wouldn't. That's a good way to gather the bones. They were just going to anoint the linen. So they were expecting to roll away the stone and see white linen, mummified man laying there, and they were going to pour spices over him. That was like putting flowers. Like we go to the graveyard at Decoration Day in May, and you put flowers on people's grave. That's what they were planning on doing. They weren't going to unwind him and everything and look at his actual body. Very early in the morning, on the first day of the week, they went to the tomb at sunrise. This Sunday morning, first day of the week. They were saying to one another, who will roll away the stone from the entrance of the tomb for us? Because they knew it was a big stone. You got three ladies, and they've got a lot, which was very large. It had been rolled away. So all of a sudden, that's a shock. It's like, somebody beat us here. Something's going on. When they entered the tomb, this is a walk-in tomb, because remember, Jesus was buried in a wealthy man's tomb. They saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, so he's right here. They were alarmed. He said, don't be afraid, he told them. You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. Look at the statement. He has risen. Your KJV Bible says he is risen, meaning he still is alive. He is risen. He has risen. He's no longer here. That statement, he has risen, gives us hope. It gives us promise. We stop when we hear this. The angel is announcing to the world, he is alive. He is risen. He's not here anymore. You came to this graveyard and everything just changed. You're looking for this man who you know is dead or who you thought was dead, and now he is alive. And that statement there, he has risen, changes everything for us. It puts in perspective that we no longer walk around focused on dinky, minuscule things in our life. We live for a risen Savior. And this puts it in for us, reminding us what is most important in our life is, number one, that we are saved, and number two, that we live for Jesus. And it's easy for us to lose that perspective. Let me give you an example of how we lose that perspective. Yesterday, we had an Easter egg hunt. Had a lot of people out here. Went really well this year. Good weather, not a lot of problems. The children didn't run away. But the greatest challenge every year with the Easter egg hunt is not actually the children. The children always do well. You know the greatest challenge with the Easter egg hunt? It's mom and dad, particularly moms. So what happens at Easter egg hunts, I want y'all to know this. Did you know a 1- and 2-year-old can actually pick up an egg? They can. They're able to bend over, even if they're one. A little toddler, it's like a miracle. They can bend over and pick up an egg and put it in a bag. They can do this. So if a 1-year-old can pick up an egg, a 2-year-old can pick up an egg, would mama have to be right there picking all the eggs up as well? You would not think that. So what we have to do, the lady with the megaphone is giving us directions. She was telling people over and over again, parents, you are not allowed to pick up eggs. Only children can pick up eggs. Only children can carry a basket and pick up a. Parents don't even need to be in the playpen area. What, egg pen area, picking eggs. I mean, it's okay. Your child can walk out there a little bit and pick up some eggs and put a basket. Even a 3-, 4-, 5-year-old can do that by themselves. They don't need help. So over and over again, we have to remind these moms and dads, no, parents are not allowed. So I'm standing over there, and then one of the guys, some stranger, I don't even know who the guy was. I mean, he could actually be in the service right now. He's standing here next to me saying, yeah, she's really having to communicate that over and over again to the parents. Do not pick up eggs. So I'm standing there, and they blow the whistle. Here come the little children. This is the 3- through 5-year-old section. So you know even the 3-year-old can pick up an Easter egg. We're there, and here comes a mother. This woman's 40 years old. She walks. She's not supposed to break the little caution tape, but she breaks the line and she gets in the egg pen and she starts picking up Easter eggs. And this guy's like, look, there's a mother right there picking up. She doesn't even have a basket. She's gathering them up in her shirt. And I pull out my phone and I took her picture. And it's almost like the Lord spoke, Daniel, what are you doing? Are you going to write her a church ticket? Like, is she going to get in trouble for picking up Easter? Like, what do you do when mamas break the rules and start picking up Easter eggs? And at some point in our life, we just have to stop and say, what am I doing? Is this worth it? Is it worth taking pictures of illegal egg picker-uppers at our Easter egg hunt? And what happens is the resurrection, that statement, he is risen. He has risen puts everything in perspective for us, because we live not for Easter eggs and not for candy and not for silly stuff out there. We live for the Lord. We have a risen Savior whom all of us have to redirect our focus and our attention towards Christ. And this morning, Jesus is inviting you. He looks at these ladies. The angel told these ladies, He is risen. And it goes on to say, in verse 6, He is not here. See the place where He lay. See where He used to be? His linen cloth is right here. And there's no bones in the linen cloth. It's empty. The linen cloth still laying right there. He came alive. He took off the cloth. And actually, He folded it back up. This is why we should always make our bed. He put it back, and Jesus walked out of that tomb. That's literally what happened in the Bible. He didn't break out, because Matthew's account says the cloth was folded up. Jesus came back to life. He realized, I'm wrapped up in linen cloth. Let me take this stuff off. Puts it away. Rolls away the stone, and then He went to Galilee, the Bible said. That is what happened on Sunday morning. Jesus Christ came back to life. This is what gives us new life in Christ. It changes how we live. Daily, we should be reminded, I have new life. I have a resurrected body. I have a life in Christ because He is alive. He goes on to say here in verse 7, but go tell His disciples and Peter. You know why they put Peter in there? Because Peter had denied Jesus 3 times. Peter was embarrassed of Jesus. He even lied about knowing Jesus to a slave girl. And the angel is telling these women, you need to go tell all these disciples, who, by the way, are all missing in action, and make sure Peter knows as well, because they did not believe that Jesus was alive. He was going ahead of you into Galilee, Jesus says. You will see Him there, just as He told you. They all went and ran from the tomb, because trembling and astonishment overwhelmed them. These women don't know what to think of this. This was not what they were expecting. Then they said nothing to anyone, because they were afraid. This confirms to us that this is not some made-up story. These women were, no one was prepared for Jesus' resurrection. And it occurred. The disciples weren't planning for it. The women weren't planning for it. They're scared to death. Yet Jesus, time and time again, saying, I will die and rise again. And He did that. And this morning, this scripture here, we are reminded that the resurrection gives us new life in Christ. And for you this morning, maybe you have never gotten saved. I even put the ABCs of salvation on the back of your bulletin. I want to go over this, because it's any preacher's job on Easter. The most important Easter message is one of salvation. This is how you get saved. We are saved because of the resurrection. It says, admit that you're a sinner. We confess that we are sinners and that we are in desperate need. That's why Jesus died for mankind on Friday. Number 2, believe in Jesus. Do you know, in many ways, the people back there, they didn't believe in Jesus, because they didn't believe He was coming back from dead. The women were so surprised. The disciples are all missing in action. Nobody actually believed what was going to happen. But we are called today to have a belief in Jesus that will save us. After belief, we then confess Jesus as your Lord. That means we verbally confess. We don't become secret disciples. We publicly confess Jesus. Joseph of Arimathea, he was a secret disciple of Jesus. Only until Jesus died did he make it public. Well, we don't want to be like that. We want to publicly follow Christ. We should be proud to follow Christ. Jesus Christ died publicly on the cross. He publicly arose. He was alive. And it tells us here that become a believer, we admit, we believe, and we confess Jesus. Those are the ABCs of salvation. And I want to give you an opportunity to get saved right now. So I want you to bow your head and close your eyes. I'm going to lead us in a prayer. Maybe you are new to church and Christianity and new to hearing sermons, and you've never heard this before. You did not understand what it means for Christ to come back from the dead, from Christ to be resurrected. So if you want to get saved, I'm going to say a prayer, and you say this prayer also within your heart. God can read your heart. He knows. He created us. He knows everything about us. You don't have to say it out loud. You say it to yourself. So we're going to bow our head and close our eyes, and you repeat after me if you want to get saved. And I'm going to pray the ABC prayers of salvation. Lord, we admit that we are sinners. We have fallen short of your glory. Jesus, we believe in you. We believe you came to save us. Lord, we believe that you rose again. And Lord, we confess you as our Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for being our Savior. And thank you, Jesus, for saving us. Lord, I give you my heart. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I want you to look up. Bible teaches us if you meant that, if you admitted you're a sinner, if you believe in Jesus, if you confess him as your Lord, the Bible says you are a Christian. That is a Christ follower. That's what it is. And this is Easter Sunday is the day to get saved. There's no better day that Jesus came out of the grave and we now live because he is alive. He's not in a tomb somewhere in Jerusalem. He is in heaven, the Bible says, at the right hand of God the Father. And the Bible says he actually intercedes on our behalf. That means he's an advocate for us. So because maybe you got saved and you decided you wanted to become a follower and a believer in Jesus, we are going to respond to him. So I'm going to invite everyone to stand up. We're going to stand up. And our band's going to lead us in our closing song. This would be our closing song for this worship service. If you prayed that prayer and you got saved this morning, I want you to walk this aisle. I'll stand up here with Zach Bauer, our youth pastor, and you make it public. You never want to be a secret follower. Don't be a Joseph of Arimathea. Christ doesn't. He doesn't want us to live that way. We live for Jesus because he is alive for us. So we're going to sing and we respond to the Lord this morning.